in no way actively engaged in any war zone, but as with everybody in the land, I was concerned, anxious and involved throughout 1939. Registration for evacuation from certain areas had been undertaken in 1938, but had been extensive in the early part of 1939, extensively revised. By Monday, August the 28th, the day for school generally to return from summer holiday, the situation was such that all staff and pupils alike were ordered to return to the schools they were in at the end of the previous term. I myself had been seconded to a selective school in West Ham as a geography specialist. I returned accordingly to my previous school, a junior boys, and it was understood that on declaration of war, all schools would close and teachers not on evacuation would be dismissed. We met daily that week, all ready for departure. Evacuation was to take 3 days. We were second day. Evacuation finally was ordered on Friday, the 1st of September. Because so few finally were evacuees, we found ourselves that afternoon on our way. We entered a side gate at Upton Park Station onto what was normally the down platform, and there entrained. On my way into the station, my father handed me an early edition of the evening news, headlined, "Hitler invades Poland." You could see us all labelled, not very large suitcases, but each with his gas mask in a little cardboard box. The electric underground train took us to Ealing Broadway, where we joined a Great Western steam train, and so westward we travelled, along a route I knew quite well. We knew not where we were going. We were just in the train, steaming westward. Chipping Norton, the rumour buzzed around. Well, where was that? It was correct. Chipping Norton was the railhead, and there we disentrained. More than one school party in the train. Our school, as others, was split originally into sections of 50 children, each with 2 teachers and a helper. We were 7 sections, 6 by 50, and a final 73, which was actually my charge on paper. Organisation in London had been very good, although less than half the number of registered evacuees were with us. Organisation in the country seemed non-existent. At Chipping Norton Railhead, with no consultation or opportunity for choice whatever, we were bundled into buses and deposited in various villages. Most of the children I found myself with were of infant age. We were in the village of Churchill. Children were all spirited away, I knew not where, and finally I too was billeted. Needless to say, late Friday in 1939, there was no communication with home. Our families just did not know where we were and really expected to see us home at about 5:30 p.m. At Chipping Norton Station Distribution Centre, every evacuee was given a package of emergency food, which, as I recall, in the event was not required. Cannot remember what it contained, except that there was some chocolate in it. For the first week spent at Churchill, where I was billeted with schoolmaster in schoolhouse, each day I met my infants, and together with one of their teachers, we had outdoor activities and lessons of various kinds. Each evening, as a trained ARP warden, I, together with the schoolmaster, patrolled the village looking for blackout offences, and ending up every night in the Chequers, where there was village and country gossip and rumours that Lord Reedsdale, the local lord and father of the Mitford sisters, was already in the Tower. This was quite untrue, of course. After 1 week, it was arranged for me to transfer to Shipton, just 5 miles distant, where there were many older children with infant teachers. I remained at Shipton until mid-November, sharing the teaching of older children with the village schoolmaster. During my time at Shipton, I heard of the birth of my eldest daughter. I was able to make a short visit to mother and baby the next weekend by walking to Burford, 6 miles, there joining the red and white coach for Gloucester. I had to return the same day by the reverse route, arriving back at my digs somewhat late that night. Meanwhile, in London, with all schools closed and less than half the children evacuated, to say there was some degree of chaos and uncertainty would be an understatement. After some time, house-to-house teaching began, and there was a call for teachers to return to deal with the situation. I volunteered to return, partly to contact my new head, and partly because our property at Laindon, Maryland and Grosvenor, was unoccupied. I returned to West Ham and was soon involved in teaching children of secondary and central ability. I had a gathering of 20 or so in the church hall, St Andrew's at Plaistow, which had not been used as a schoolroom since last century. I helped on an individual basis scholars in all subjects, even Latin and French, as well as maths, English, history and geography. A bit of a specialist, eh? This continued for a week or two, and then finally the schools were reopened. It was the only answer. I was now at the Russell Central School. We had at least 200 children and real school return. This was during the time of the phony war, when very little seemed to be going on, and more evacuees returning home. I was form master of a first year intake, several of whom were shocked to find me as their form master, since they had been in my junior school class for the preceding 3 years, passing the 11 plus in their last junior year. All was quiet until March, when the German invasion of Norway and Denmark occurred. Then in April it was into Belgium and Holland, and in May, France. So that our head came to our dinner table one day to announce that he had heard the news that all the Channel ports had been captured, except Dunkirk and Calais. And Calais was under siege. Then followed Dunkirk and the evacuation therefrom. And on my home journeys during those few days, we often met fellow travellers on the train who were young men of the neighbourhood, returning from Dunkirk, arrived at Dover or elsewhere, and sent on leave. Mostly their equipment was lost, all except their cigarettes, and they were told to get lost for a time. So we come up to Whitsun when government announced the cancellation of bank holiday and no closing of the schools during the summer. The summer came, ran its course, schools remained open, but teachers were allowed a 3 week break by taking it in turns. Children were in school all the time. My turn came at the end of the period allotted, and I made my way to Shipton, where the family were living, cycling part of the way, i.e. from High Wycombe along the A40. As August progressed, so raids on England became more concentrated. Various towns and villages and cities experienced bombing raids. This was the Blitzkrieg, or as it became known, the Blitz. While at Shipton on holiday, news was of increasing raids on London. Returning home on August the 31st, I had my first experience of a real air raid. Cycling through Ealing, I heard the siren and noted the people flocking to shelter. For a time, I continued on my way until I thought perhaps I ought to seek shelter too. And so I did, in one of many public shelters on Ealing Common. Soon, the All Clear sent me on my way homeward. I put myself and the bike on a train at Fenchurch Street. Returning to school, I found a change had occurred. The school was open only for evacuation registration, of which there was now a new wave developing into a flood. The central school's pupils, wishing for evacuation, were made into one party and sent to Worcester, where the rest of the school was working. Travelling late in the week, my headmaster suggested that I should be an escort so that I could spend the weekend at Shipton with the family. Throughout September and part of October, the school was open as a rest centre, and several times we had victims of bombing from Canning Town and the docks area resting at the school during the day and being later transferred into the country by bus. On occasion, I did not get home to London until late evening. School remained open every day until the school received such damage at the weekend, and while some of us were there during a daylight raid, finally it was closed. For the remainder of the time before I was called up, I taught at the Grove School, the second of the West Ham Central Schools, the one to which I was appointed in August 1939. A vivid memory of September 1940 was Sunday the 15th. Battle of Britain Day, when 187 enemy aircraft were shot down over southeastern England. I remember standing in the Maryland Garden that afternoon and must have seen nearly a dozen planes down in the course of half an hour or so, not necessarily, of course, all enemy planes. Earlier in the month, my wife's parents had returned to Maryland for a few days. A very few days, as it happened, as within a day or two, a bomb, one of a string left by departing raiders who could not release their bombs on London, dropped in Tavistock Road at midnight or just after. I recall being roused by finding myself on the floor in my bungalow at Grosvenor. Mum and Dad were sleeping in the cellar of Maryland and were very badly shaken, as indeed was the house, which was at first considered a write-off. September 1940 onwards was the time of the heaviest air raids in London, and they continued into 1941. I recall a Sunday morning in May 1941, I was proposing to visit the family now at Burford on the main Western coach route. In order to catch the 9:30 coach at Victoria, I set out from Leyden Station at 6:30. There had been quite a raid overnight. The train was crammed full with workmen going up to London to report for air raid rescue, and not only of people, but also of the building, making the building safe. But the train had to stop at Barking, so we all made for the district line, which took us as far as Bromley. Thence it was walking to Aldgate, through a main road cluttered with rubble the whole way. I was able to board a bus at Aldgate bound for Victoria, passing through Parliament Square at about 10 o'clock, through a fog which was thicker than an old-fashioned pea super in November, and complete with charred paper, which seemed to be like a black snowstorm, I realised there was no hope of a coach at Victoria, so I made my way by a somewhat circuitous route via the northern outskirts of the city to the district line to Upminster and home, where I arrived about 5:30 in the afternoon. This was the weekend of the destruction of the Commons, House of Commons, and the arrival of Rudolf Hess in Scotland. Throughout 1941, life continued, a series of school by day, sometimes dodging roof tiles, dislodged by overnight air raids, and fire watching at night. 4 hours twice weekly at home, voluntary, and once per week compulsorily in town at the West Ham Town Hall. In July, when teachers, that is to say men teachers up to 35, were no longer in a reserved occupation, a medical pronounced me as fit for national service. I was able to opt for His Majesty's Royal Navy and expected to be a stoker. However, I had a slight deferment while we awaited the arrival of our third child and second daughter. Finally, on the 25th of November, 4 weeks before her birth, I was summoned to Skegness to begin another chapter in my memories of the war and a change of career. I became a very ordinary telegraphist.